You're listening to sermon audio from Gospelite Baptist Church. For more resources or to donate to this ministry, please visit gospelite.org.
We're entering into a sermon series entitled Empowered to Serve. We're going to discover the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit this entire year. Every sermon is built around this idea of being empowered by Him. And we're going to talk about these gifts. That's going to be the first 4 weeks of 6 weeks. Then we're going to enter into a kind of a part two of the same series called Handle with Care. Now, when we deal with handle with care, we're going to talk about how we can at times, if we're not careful, if we don't handle these gifts with care, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. And so how do we protect our gifts? How do we not walk into those moments and live in the fullness of that gift? We're going to learn all that this series. It's going to be fascinating. I'm so glad you're here. And to start it off, I think everybody deserves a gift. So my wife and I want to give all of you a gift. Would you pass it out, guys? What a great way. Now, I'm going to use this as a sermon illustration in a little bit, so hang tight. But let me tell you, there's a lot that goes into giving gifts. You're receiving a mint, a pack of mints, a pack of gum. You say, that's not a whole lot. Well, when you give it to hundreds of people, it's a lot. I told my wife, I want to do this. She said, honey, you're crazy. I said, well, we'll make it as best as possible. So Carol Ann goes to Sam's. She looks at Sam's and she says, you know what? It's too expensive at Sam's. So she finds Merit Wholesale. She's a bargain shopper. She goes to Merit. She finds that this guy lets her in. He says, yeah, you could buy candy for me. She does a video call with this guy. I mean, who does this but my wife? She's got him on the screen. She's like, honey, meet this nice man. We're going to get a bargain on these 400, 500 candies. And so we worked it all out, and we decided it was a proper investment to spend a little bit of money. And by the way, how many of you need a breath mint right now? Come on, be honest. Hallelujah. Yeah. Everybody that comes to church needs mints, gum, or Mentos because, hey, when we fellowship, it can be offensive at times, okay? So, anyway, and by the way, guess what? You can use that gift in the church. It's okay. Yeah, but if it's gum, don't put it under the seat. Please don't put it under the seat. All right. I want to ask you something this morning. I want to ask you two questions. Yes. Did everybody get one? Anybody need one? We might have a couple more bags of mints. Hey, I get one. I want to ask you two questions this morning to get us started off. Question one, what if I told you that everything you need to make a difference for God is inside you? It's already in you. You know, as a pastor of the same church for 34 years, never pastored another church but this one. One of the things that I hear often from people in our congregation through the years is, you know, Pastor, I just don't think I fit. I just can't find my spot. I just don't know really what I'm supposed to do. What if? What if everything you have to make a difference in the body of Christ for God was already in you? Second question. What if the problem is not that you don't have anything, but that you haven't discovered what God already gave you? What if that's the problem? I just need to discover the gift that God's given me so that I can find my place and my purpose in the body of Christ. I've been saved to serve. I just don't know what it is. What if I told you that what you have to make a difference is already in you, and it's not that you don't have anything, it's just that you haven't discovered what God has already given you? Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever received a gift and you just didn't really realize how valuable it was? Anybody ever received a gift like that? You got it. And when you got it, it was easy to take for granted because you didn't know how valuable the gift was. Maybe it was because you didn't understand it, right? I used to collect baseball cards. And I've got a funny story that our family knows that I won't go into details. It's one of those stories you can't really tell like in front of everybody. You got to tell it more like to a small group. I'll tell it to you sometime if you want to hear it. But it takes a long time to tell it. And it's a little embarrassing on my part. But anyway, my mother, I got this gift from someone. And it was a stranger. He gave me a box of baseball cards. And I was so excited about these baseball cards. But I never got to open them. Because once my mother found out how I got them and that I probably shouldn't have received them, even though that was free, she took them from me. And I never found out what they were. Until 3 years later, she was cleaning the house and she said, "Hey, I've got this box of baseball cards. Does anybody know why I've got them?" I said, "I do. I got punished 3 years ago. And you took them from..." She gave them to me. Oh, my goodness. When I started looking up those cards and what they were worth, I had hundreds and thousands of dollars worth of rookie baseball cards in a box I never got to open until 3 years after I received it. Sometimes we just don't understand. Maybe you didn't use your gift. You got the gift, you just never used it. You ever gotten a gift you never used, and when you finally used it? Hey, I am not a handyman. Mark is a handyman. Our drummer, that's what he does for a living. In fact, little free commercial here. Call Mark if you need work. All right. But Mark's amazing. Me, I call Josiah Capace when I need something done around my house. My son's a handyman. He can do it all. Me, I'm not good. But somebody one time gave me a toolbox. And it sat in my garage forever. Until finally, Joe wasn't available. And I thought, you know, I've got to do this. So I go out and get my toolbox, open it up. Can I tell you, it's amazing what a screwdriver can do. Hallelujah. Man, when you go from using a knife in your drawer to do a nail in the wall to a hammer, praise God. Hallelujah. It changed my life to finally understand that, you know what? I had a gift in my garage that I wasn't using. And when I finally used it, I discovered it's amazing. Maybe it's just a gift that's just sat there unopened. You've received it. You've just never opened it. But then eventually you realize that what you had all along was more valuable than what you thought. Now, can I bring that real time today, 11:30, 600 Garland Street, Sunday morning, April 19th, to everybody in the building? That's exactly where many people are in this room. You have a gift. It's a gift. You've been given a gift. And this morning, some of us are sitting here. And by the way, this is not a guilt sermon or any kind of a feel bad. This is exciting. I'm excited to help you understand what that gift is. But so many have an unopened gift, a gift you've never used, a gift you don't understand to build up the body of Christ. This is not a sermon to help get us volunteers for the church. Not at all. We're not asking for volunteers. We're just excited because when you discover your gift, there won't be any needs in this church. God has given to our church family the gift of you. And you have a gift that will meet the needs of our church. And when we discover these gifts, if you think things are going well now, wait till you find out what happens when everybody's functioning properly with their gift. Revival. It's amazing. There's something powerful about receiving a gift. Not earning it, not deserving it, not working for it, just receiving it. And the impact of a gift is sometimes just someone looking at you in the face and saying, "I want to give this gift to you." I remember when I knelt in front of my beautiful bride 38 years ago at Nick's Fish Market in Chicago, Illinois, downtown Chicago. And I said, actually, I sang first. Earth angel, will you be mine? My darling dear, love you all the time. I'm such a fool in love with you. Ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. Your picture is... Oh, I'm sorry. Get carried away. It's not a worship song. Anyway, and I looked at her and I said, "Honey, would you marry me?" And I gave her this beautiful diamond ring, looked her in the eye, and she accepted that gift. Thank God she did, amen. You know, the value of a gift is not just what it is, it's who it came from. And when someone gives you something meaningful, what they are really saying is this: I see you, I value you, I love you. And because of all those things, I want to give something to you. I want you to learn something here as we introduce this series. When you got saved, God did not just forgive you, he gifted you. He gifted you. And some are living like they don't understand that. They're living as if they were on a land full of oil, but yet they're broke. And so many believers in the body of Christ don't understand what they have. This is exactly where so many Christians are today. Saved, but not serving. Gifted, but not functioning. Called, but not activated. And over the next 4 to 6 weeks, as we dive into this series, I'm so excited to change that narrative in the Gospelite family. If you decide to be faithful for the next 6 weeks, you're going to join me in uncovering what God has placed inside of you. You're going to find out. You have a gift. Oh, I loved our morning service. We already had a big, great first service, and a lady came forward, and she said she was, and it was beautiful. She was an older lady, about 65, attends our church, has for years, and she said, "You know what? I don't think I know my gift. Pastor, I've lived all this time, and if you ask me what my gift is," she goes, "when do we find out?" And I said, "Well, next Sunday, the title of the sermon is Discovering the Gift. So maybe next Sunday, possibly." And she said, "I'll be here. I just so desperately want to find my gift. I love it." Oh, listen, God wants you to discover your gift. He wants you to uncover what's inside you. It's already there. We're going to help you understand how God has wired you. Did you know that Steve Richardson is not wired like Erica Pacey? Does anybody else know this guy? Quiet, unassuming. You ever see him on the platform playing the bass? Hey, can you imagine if everyone was wired like Josh Oglesby in the church? This place would be crazy and services would be 10 hours long. I'm joking. I'm having fun. He lets me do that. They wouldn't be much shorter if I was wired like me too. I get it. We're all wired differently. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. God intended it that way. We're going to help you step into God's role, how he's designed you to play in the game of life here at Gospel Light. Because you are not here by accident. You are empowered to serve. So with that said, I want to give you three aspects about God, the giver of gifts. This is the introduction. This is how we're going to get excited about the next 5 weeks as we dive into this very important subject about being empowered by the Holy Spirit to serve the body of Christ. Number one, receive the gift from God the giver. That's number one. By the way, did you receive the gift from Eric the pastor? I didn't notice that anybody, how insulting it would have been, "Zoe, I'll do this to you just for the fun of it." If Zoe would have got this gift and said, "Dad, you can have it back. It's whatever. I don't need this stupid gift, a buck." You could have done more than that. First of all, I'd have beat the living daylights out of him. But say, no, I'm just kidding. I'm totally joking. "What's wrong with you, son? I'm a child of God." But what if he would have just thrown that back at me? What if somebody in this room would have just said, "I don't care about that gift"? Hey, can you? That, I guess that would be a lot better than telling God you don't want the gift he gave you. If we could understand and receive the gift, let's go to the book of Corinthians, where Paul is teaching the church at Corinth, not just about gifts, but about the gift that comes from God himself. This is not random. You are not random. The gift is not random. It is intentional. It is from God himself. It's by divine design. God has divinely designed you to have a very specific gift from him. And the Bible shows us that all three persons of the Trinity are involved in what God has placed inside of you. And I want you to see that first. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Take a look on the screen. There are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There's different ministries. There's the nursery ministry, there's benevolence ministry, there's youth ministry, there's music ministry, there's preaching ministry, there's teaching ministry, there's jail ministry. Everybody with me? There's different ministries, but the same Lord. There's different activities we announced today. We got fireside chats. We've got a Shine Women's Ministry. We've got Forge Men's Retreat. Different activities. But the same God works all of them in each person. May we understand together today that the same Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, one and the same Spirit is active in all these, don't miss this phrase, distributing to each person. As I began to prepare this series, I was absolutely amazed at something I had never noticed about these gifts that the Holy Spirit is giving us, is that they are designed individually for each person as He wills. That means your gift was not chosen by you. Your gift was assigned by Him. He assigned you a very specific gift. You had nothing to do with it. So number one, the Spirit gives the gift. Number two, the Son directs the ministry. It is the Son. So you got the Spirit who gives it. The Son then directs it. Jesus directs the gift. Look at it. He's the head of the church. Look at it in Ephesians 4, 7. Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Jesus gives the gifts to the church. He says in Ephesians 4 that He Himself, Jesus Christ, gave some to be apostles. He gave some, not everybody, some to be prophets. He gave some, not everybody, to be evangelists, some to be pastors. He gave some to be teachers. He gave all these different people, these different responsibilities, these different gifts to equip the saints for the work of the ministry and to build up the body of Christ. You did not choose it. The Holy Spirit distributed it. You've been given a gift. Have you ever done anything for God and you didn't, or rather, understand this, before you ever did anything for God, God did something in you. God gave you a gift. Jesus Christ Himself has given you a gift. He's the head of the church. So Spirit gives the gift, the Son gives the direction, and the Father empowers the results. Father, Son, Spirit. See it in James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift, I love this verse, is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights who does not change like shifting shadows. It is God the Father who is involved in the gift giving. And I don't even have to worry about the results. I just receive the gift and He produces the results. Someone says, well, Pastor, you have built a great church here. I really haven't. I've just received the gift. I've been using it and God gives the increase. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of above, and He empowers the results. He gives the results. 1 Corinthians 12:6 says, and there are different activities, but the same God works in all of them, in each person. It is God the Father who is involved in empowering the gift. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It is the Father who empowers us to use our gifts, and He gives the results. Here's what that means. You bring the gift and God brings the power. You bring the gift. God, I'm ready. God, I'll go to Hot Springs, Arkansas. I'll do it. I'll go, God. Leave California, drive all the way to Hot Springs. I'll use my gift. I'll plant a church. And 34 years later, wow, it's pretty cool. When you use the gift that God gives you, He gives the results. You bring the willingness. God brings the increase. You bring what God gave you. And God does more with it than you ever could. So let me make this simple as we introduce this first idea of receiving the gift that God has given you. Number one, the Spirit gives the gift. Number two, the Son assigns the ministry. And number three, the Father empowers the results. That is what we must understand about the giver of gifts. This is incredible. A triune God is involved in giving me the gift that I have. And here's the truth you need to grab a hold of, and I need to grab a hold of, is your gift is not an accident. It's an assignment. God didn't make a mistake. He didn't make an accident. He gave you an assignment. That means you're not random. You're not overlooked. You're not unnecessary. God has gifted you with purpose. And one of the verses we're going to repeat over and over again. In fact, you may not have to memorize it as often as we're going to talk about it in this series. It's 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 10. And it says this, just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. Can you imagine if you and I could be a good steward of the gift that God's given us? Already some of you are using the gift that I gave you. You're being a good steward of your bad breath. Amen. You've used the gift. It's changing your life. You're staying awake in church. Hallelujah. What if all of us could use the gift that God's given us and be a good steward? What could God do if everybody in this congregation was a good steward of the gift that God gave them? Could you read that with me just for a moment together? Let's read it. Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. I want to break that word each one down for you just for a minute. I want you to understand when it says each one, it means this, that no one is left out. No one here is sitting on the sidelines in God's plan. No one. No one's just warming a pew. No one's just warming a seat. No one's wondering anymore. I just need to talk to the pastor. I don't fit in. I'm not sure where I fit in. I'm not sure where I should serve. I just don't really know what I'm supposed to. No one. Everybody, when you understand this, everybody fits perfectly into the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts are given by grace. They're not earned. They are received at salvation. They're given to every believer. And what these gifts produce is not emptiness, but equipping. We're not empty. We're equipped to do what God has called us to do. So let me make this very clear, that God has never saved a person he didn't intend to use. That's just making it as clear as I can make it. God never saved a person he did not tend to abundantly use. You may think that for some reason God's chosen me more than he's chosen you to be used at this church, and you're wrong. God has not chosen any of us to be better than any one of us. He's chosen all of us to be uniquely gifted to a church to impact that church, because no one else can impact the church using their gift like you can. How amazing is that? Oh, this is the calling of God today. You don't need to ask if you have a gift. You need to discover what God has already given you. God, the giver of gifts, has given you a gift. Would you receive the gift from God, the giver? Number two, recognize the gift is spiritual, not natural. This is a spiritual gift. It's not a natural gift. And if we're going to move forward, we got to get this right. Even if we're going to really be able to embrace the next five sermons, we've got to understand what God has actually placed inside of us. It's a spiritual gift. And what is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is a God-given ability empowered by the Holy Spirit to serve others and to build the church. So I want you to kind of really get that, memorize that. It's in your notes. It's on the screen. A spiritual gift is a God-given ability empowered by the Holy Spirit to serve others and to build the church. 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says this, a manifestation of the Spirit, get this, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person. There it is again, each person for the common good. For the common good. Now let's look again at 1 Peter 4:10 in light of 1 Corinthians 12:10. Again, it says, just as each one has received a gift for the common good, we use it to serve others. This is why I'm using my gift today, to serve you. I'm not here to entertain. I'm not here to impress you. I'm not here for a title. I'm not here for status. I'm not here for recognition. I'm not here for applause. I'm not here for good message preacher. I'm here to serve you. I want you to leave this building feeling as if you've been equipped with something from God's word. All the hours, all the preparation, all the notes, all the screens, all the videos, all the hours. It's simply a way that I can serve my church. I can use my gift. I can help you to become more like Christ. This is the purpose of receiving a gift, using it to serve others. That means you received it when you were saved. It was given to serve others. It works through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not something you earned. This is not something you can develop. This is something that God gave you. Now, here is where we mix things up. And I want us to get this clear. I mentioned earlier We got to get this right if we're going to really understand what a gift is. And so I want to clear up three things here. I don't want you to confuse these three things. Number one, don't confuse talent with gifts. Talent is your natural ability. Talent is something you're born with. Talent is something you have at your physical birth. This can operate with or without God. It's often shaped by your genetics or your environment. Let me give you an example. Some of you are good at woodworking. Some of you are good at speaking. Some are good at sports. Some aren't so good at sports. Some are good at academics, organizing, leading, creating. Everything I just mentioned is talent. You're good at it. You're talented at that. God allows us to be born with certain talents and abilities that can be developed in us. For example, I'll give you an example in Scripture. It's kind of an odd example. There's many I could have given, but I found one tucked away in Exodus in chapter 31. I'll let you look at the words on the screen as I read through them. Hardly could pronounce these odd names in strange places in Scripture, whom I won't know till I get to heaven and don't know much about these men other than what's on the screen. The Lord speaks to Moses and he says this, look, I've appointed by name Bezalel. He's the son of Uri, he's the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. You know this guy? No, I really don't know him. Well, he's the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. And I filled him with God's spirit. I've given him wisdom and understanding and ability. Keyword, ability. I've given him ability in every craft. He can design artistic works in gold and silver and bronze. He cuts gemstones for mounting, carves wood and for work in every craft. Here is a guy that has natural ability. He has skill. He has craftsmanship. Remember Psalm 139 says what? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. All of us have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Talents are given by God at creation, but spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit at salvation. Don't get the two confused. So number one, talent is something you're born with. Everyone has talents, saved or lost. In fact, sometimes isn't it neat when you're watching somebody use their sport talent? When they put a microphone in front of their face, they just made a dunk or won a championship, and they say, well, first of all, I just want to give God all the glory. It's kind of nice. I don't know if they meant it or not, but I like to hear it, don't you? They're just thanking God for their talent. They're good at basketball. They're good at football. Maybe you're not, but that's okay. And so I want you to see here, first of all, talent is something you're born with. A spiritual gift is something you receive when you're born again. You don't receive your spiritual gift when you're born. You receive your spiritual gift when you're born again. Romans 12:6 says this, according to the grace given to us. Grace given to us. We have different gifts. Again, those gifts came at salvation. This is what we're talking about over the next 5 weeks. Not a gift we received at birth. Not a gift that we gave ourselves or we developed ourselves. No, this was a gift given to us by God Himself, given by the Holy Spirit, designed to serve others. We didn't choose this gift. We had nothing to do with choosing this gift. It was chosen by God. We didn't earn this gift. The Holy Spirit assigned the gift. So first of all, talent is something we're born with. A spiritual gift is something we're given when we're born again. And thirdly, fruit. What is fruit? Fruit of the Spirit is about your character. In fact, this summer, we're going to spend 9 weeks on discovering what it is to grow in the fruits of the Spirit. You say, what are the fruits of the Spirit? There's 9 of them. They're all listed in Galatians chapter 5. Here they are. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those aren't gifts. Those are fruits. These fruits that God has provided for us will help us to grow in our character as we walk with God. You know, I've been saved now for 45 years. I didn't always love like I love today. I've not had as much peace as I have now. I'm growing. The more I get to know God, the more I read my Bible, the more I go through trials and troubles, the more I find myself developing in these areas. And these fruits of the Spirit help to draw people to Christ. They have to do with our character. And as you grow with God, we reflect who we're becoming in Christ. So let me sum this up on the screen. Number one, talent, what you're born with. But don't confuse talent with gifts, what you're born again with. And don't confuse talent and gifts with fruit, what you're growing into. Everybody with me? We're learning together so we can learn more. Talents, gifts, and fruit. Fruit is about who you are. Gifts are about what you do. And I want you to know something. God cares more about who you are becoming than about just what you're doing. God cares more about your fruit than he does your gifts. And so we got a lot to learn together over the next few weeks and months. So let's review. Number one, you got to receive this gift from God. Number two, recognize the gift is spiritual. It's from God. It's totally spiritual. It's given by God. Not earned. Not even deserved. Just gifted. And then number three, release the gift that God gave you. This is what I'm most excited about. And what I'm praying God is going to do over the next few weeks is all of us, you're not ready for this. I'm not ready for this. Hot Springs isn't ready for this. But when five campuses release the gift that God has given them, it's an explosion of power. It's an explosion of work. It's an explosion of results given to us by God because we all released the gift that was already given to us. So now that you understand what your gift is, the question is not, what do I have? Do I have a gift? No, you know now you have a gift. The question is, what am I going to do with it? What am I going to do with this gift? I know I've got it. Okay, Pastor. I see the passages. I see the scripture. What God put in you is meant to flow through you. And every one of us is uniquely gifted by God. God did not create you to sit, soak, and sour. God created you to serve. The happiest people in the building are people operating in their spiritual gift, serving in that gift. That's what God created all of us for. And he designed us all differently on purpose because God loves variety. Just look around in this room. Look at all the variety. Look at all the different personalities, the different backgrounds, the different strengths. And God designed it that way. Aren't you glad that not everybody is like Erica Pacey? Aren't you glad Jeff Manthey's our executive pastor? Now, Jeff and I are completely different. I mean, listen, I'm this crazy pastor that's always got a new idea, and it costs money. Oh, yeah. I can drive a guy that's tight with money and is the overseer of all the giving in our church. I can drive a guy like him crazy. Because let's start a new campus. Let's start a new ministry. Let's take on a new missionary. And this guy over here is like, oh, he's at it again. Oh, my goodness. Oh, not. Here's Pastor again. Another idea. Drives me crazy. And here I am over there. I hate to tell Jeff. I know what he's going to say. Nah. Wait a minute. That's not how it is. That's not how it is. You know what, Jeff? And I talked to Jeff about this before I preached. I said, Jeff, tell me if I say this, am I correct? He said, you're spot on, preacher. I said, Jeff, you and I are polar opposites. He said, polar. I said, but Jeff, do we work well together? He said, Pastor, I'd rather work for you than anybody else in the world. I said, Jeff, I've never been so happy as a pastor with you as our executive pastor over the finances. Never. I've never felt so much freedom. I've never felt that I can operate my gift better with you in that seat than anybody else. He said, Pastor, sometimes you drive me crazy with your vision and it scares me half to death. but it's called me more to get out of my comfort zone of just constantly feeling as if we have to hold on to everything. And I realize we have to be good stewards, but we have to be willing to trust God and step out by faith. And I said, Jeff, you've helped me so much to not be such a crazy man and always coming up with an idea and potentially risking the church's budget. You've helped me to understand I got to filter everything through you, through elders, through other thoughts, because sometimes my ideas are just way too inflated. I said, Jeff, you know what I think's happening right now? I think we're finding out that our gifts are different, but they complement each other. Is everybody with me? This is how God has gifted the church. It's not so that you can be like someone else. The Bible teaches that no one has all the gifts. We're all different, but we're working together. We're a team. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says it like this. For just as the body is one and has many parts. It's one body, by the way. Is Gospelite one church on 5 campuses? Yes. We're one church, but we got many members. And many members that have many gifts and many opinions and many thoughts and many likes and many dislikes. I get it. We're all different. One body, many parts. And all the parts of the body, though many, are one body. And so also is Christ. In other words, if one part doesn't function, the whole body feels it. When you don't use your gift, the whole church feels the gap. You say, really? You mean if I don't discover my gift, something's missing in the church? You guys really can't just handle it? You mean somebody? Yeah, we can, but we'll burn out. We won't last long. We won't operate like God's called us to operate. This is why so many pastors get burned out. You know how many pastors I talk to? Thankfully, I don't say this by the grace of God, but they say, man, I'm just worn out. I'm burned out. Well, who's helping you? That's just it. I can't really get anybody to help me. And I feel so bad for them. And I would feel bad for me. And at times I have felt that way. But I'm beginning to feel as if our church is waking up to this idea. That's why this sermon series is coming just at the right time. That all of us, empowered by the Holy Spirit, are feeling that urge, that conviction, that, if you will, that little, almost like a little knock, if you will, a little reminder that we are not saved to sit, we're saved to serve. And we have a place in the body of Christ. If you think about your body, let's just take eyes and mouth and legs and arms. And I mean, just look at a few parts of the body. They're all different, right? They're all different. But can you imagine if somebody said, you know what, I want every part to be the mouth. And I just like to talk. And so our whole body is a mouth. Can you imagine that? Just one big mouth. Just pop, 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 pop. That's how sometimes I feel like people are, just the mouth. You need feet so you can do something about what you're talking about. Amen. You see, if all we do is talk, we're not going to get anything done. I mean, I like to talk too. I like to preach on Sunday morning. But when I'm done, can we please do something about this? Can we put some feet to the mouth? Amen. Can we put some hands? Can we be the hands and feet of Jesus? This is what God is teaching us. We need all of these things. Hey, listen, let me say this just because it needs to be said. Stop comparing your calling to someone else's assignment. You don't find your purpose by copying someone else's calling. You don't. God didn't call you to be them. If he wanted you to be them, in fact, I should say, if he wanted another one of them, he wouldn't have made you. He made you for a purpose. He called you to be empowered by him. And you don't need their gift. You need to use your gift. Because God has placed something in your life that the body of Christ needs. So in closing, I want to read this one more time. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Last verse I'll read, but it won't be the last time we read it in the series. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. Your gift is not for you. Your gift is for others. It's not for attention. It's not for recognition. It's not for status. It's for service. That's it. What God put in you was never meant to stay inside of you. Your gift is not a trophy. Your gift is a tool. It's a tool to use in the hands of God. Gospelite is not a church where one person does the ministry and everyone else watches. This is not a church where everybody just kind of observes the pastor and says, you know what? I'm glad pastor's here. He'll make sure it gets done. He'll make sure this. He'll do this. He'll do that. That's not what this is. It's not about one person doing everything. It's about a church where every member is a minister. I guess you didn't know you're a minister. You are. Millie, you're a minister. I didn't say a pastor, but you're a minister. You're a servant. That's what a servant is, a minister. Everybody in this building is called to be a minister. You're called to serve. You don't choose your gift, but you are responsible for your gift. So can I make three suggestions before the worship team comes up? Number one, acknowledge your gift. Acknowledge it. Stop denying what God gave you. Acknowledge your gift. Accept your gift. Stop wishing you had someone else's role and just accept your role. And then finally, activate your gift. Use your gift in the body of Christ. Because what God put in you must flow through you. Because you've been given something from God. And now it's time to do something with what you've been given. You've been empowered to serve. And I can't wait till next Sunday when you and I begin to discover the gift that God has put in us. I'd like to ask our worship team to come forward as we close the service. And as they're coming forward and as we conclude, I want to say one more thing. I want to make sure you understand that this is not about you just filling some role. Would you listen to me, please? I'm scared half to death that somebody's going to think that this is some sort of a series. I shouldn't say scared half to death. I'm just afraid. I'm afraid that someone is going to think that this series is designed to make you feel guilty because you're not serving in the nursery or not serving as an usher. It has nothing to do with it. You know what this series is all about? How the Holy Spirit wants to work in your life. How the Holy Spirit wants to work in your life. You no longer have to be concerned about whether or not the Holy Spirit wants to work in your life. He's given you a gift and he's waiting for you to receive it, recognize it, release it, so he could do something in you that you could have never done without him. It's a powerful thing. Because God didn't save you to sit. God saved you to serve. You're not just some extra person that we need. You're not a number. You are essential. You're essential to the body. There is a part of this church that will only work if you do. Only. It won't work if you don't do it. You say, that's a bunch of baloney. Somebody else can do what I'm supposed to do. If I never do it, you don't understand. If the Bible is true, then each person has uniquely been gifted by God to do what no one else could do if they don't do it. Get a hold of that thought. It's fascinating. Every week I write questions in your worship guide. I know that not everyone uses them, and that's okay. Trust me. It's there if you need them. It's there if you don't. But could I ask everyone here to do me a favor this week? It's a little favor. It's a little. I gave you a gift, so I want you to give me one back. And it won't cost you a thing, except for maybe 2 minutes of your time. Question five, of the five questions I have in your bulletin, for your family, for your devotions, for your spark huddles, for your lighthouses, I want you to see it on the screen. It asks a question. Which of these do you relate to right now? We're finished with sermon one. We're closing it. They're going to sing. We're going to go home. Here it is. Would you identify which one of these is you right now sitting in the building? Number one, I need to realize I have a gift. Pastor, this is new to me. This is crazy. Really? That's pretty cool about that gift you gave us. But thanks for the mention. You mean God's giving me a gift? That I haven't earned? I don't deserve it. It's not salvation. Yes, it is salvation. But that's the first gift. After you're saved, he's got another gift. Really? Wow. If that's you, you don't want to miss next week. Nobody wants to miss next week. But all of us here today need to be there. But yet, if you have never discovered your gift, it's going to be so enlightening. Number two, I need to admit I have been sitting too long. Pastor, my problem is you're right. I've been sitting. I come each Sunday. I'm a Sunday to Sunday guy. And I need to find my gift so I can edify the body. Maybe I need to call Tim. I don't know. What's that all about? What's that? Maybe let me discover my gift. Maybe it's just helping behind the scenes. Maybe it's just helping the widows when they need help. Did you know that it's interesting? I'll just tell you this in a loving way because it's a cool story. Leroy sent out an email to the church about benevolence and people that have compassion and want to help others. And it was so cool. One person showed up to the meeting, just one of the whole church, and it was okay. They had the best time. But I looked at Leroy and I said, it's okay, Leroy. Trust me, it's okay. We just have a church full of people that really don't have an idea of what their gift is, and so they're not sure where they fit. People don't know what benevolence is. It's widows. It's people in the hospital. Sonia Brown, you visited my mother this week. And she's not doing well. We know that. I came the day after you did. My mom may go to heaven in the next few days. But Sonia, you spent 6 hours with her at that bedside. You have the gift of compassion. It's not easy to sit by the side of someone dying for 6 hours. There are smells. It's not pleasant sometimes. They don't always know how to respond. And you sat there for 6 hours, held my mother's hand, loved on her. And when I walked in the next day, she said, guess who came to see me yesterday? I said, let me think. Sonia. She goes, how'd you know? Thank you, Sonia. I say all that to say, who else has the gift of compassion? You love people. You just love helping people. You may not have that gift. You may, good night, smells make me sick. Okay. Nursing home ministry is not for you. God created you. I can handle smells. Not a big deal. I mean, when you have a special needs daughter that poops her diaper at 20, you got to be able to handle smells, okay? I get it. We're all gifted differently. And then finally, I just need to decide, preacher, I'm ready to go. Where do I sign up? What's Tim's number? Where do you need me? Where do I need to go? What do I need to do? Here's what I love to do. Here's my passion. Here's what God's put in me. Give me a job, preacher. Where is it that I need to serve? Which one of those three? Would you please sometime this week pray through that and just decide which one of those three and then come back next Sunday and let's take the next step toward being empowered to serve. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. With heads bowed and eyes are closed, man, this is an incredible year. I'm loving this year. I can't wait for this series. I can't wait for the summer series on the fruits of the Spirit. It's going to be an amazing journey. We're going to find out the Holy Spirit of God has done more for us than we could have ever imagined. If you're here in this building and you've never received the gift of salvation, I want to invite you this morning to be saved in the next moment as we stand to our feet. If you are led to come forward and trust Christ, I'll be here with others. We can take a moment and just talk to you about that decision. Or maybe it's more comfortable for you to wait until after church to approach me or Butch or Josh or Mo. We don't leave quick. We hang out for a long time. If you need to be saved, please don't leave the building today without receiving the gift of salvation. But maybe you're here today and you would say, you know, I've received that gift. I know I'm saved, but I'm just not sure I've really understood the spiritual gift God's given me. And I really want to get in touch with that gift and understand it so that I can be empowered to serve. The altars will be opened. We're going to sing about our great God and His love for us. And then we're going to go home and ruminate on these thoughts. But if you need to come and pray before you leave the building, the altars are open. Father, bless now this time. God, thank you so much for this new series. Thank you for what you're doing and how you're working. Thank you for every individual in this room, how they're wired, how they're created, how they're gifted. Lord, I want to say this. I'm just glad everybody's not like me. I don't think I'd go to this church if everybody's like me. But I sure am glad, Lord, you've gifted us so uniquely and individually that our church just feels comfortable and loving and friendly. And sometimes I laugh and sometimes I cry. And sometimes, Lord, I'm moved by someone's service and in the areas of giving or benevolence. And sometimes I'm moved by someone's serving in the area of working or serving in the nursery. It all matters. It all matters. And so, God, I pray that you'd bring us all together today, somehow, some way, to be a church that is many parts, but one body. I love you, Jesus, and I love everyone in this room. Thank you, God, for giving us these gifts. Help us to discover them and use them. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand?